Chapter 11. Aboard the Black Galley. The Black Galley pushed through the dull waters with relentless pace. Neither fast nor slow, it moved steadily, 100 oars rising and falling to a monotonous drumbeat. Its porous hull, crafted from black blightwood and slathered in pitch, cut the scummy waters like a knife. The masts creaked in sympathy with the drum, and the sails were sewn from fungus-riddled skins, which wept blood and pus with every foul gust of wind. It was a ship with 1,000 brothers, all plying the feculent swamps of Nurgle's realm. Lost souls wandered in the dark, drawn into the garden, but not yet a part of it. The masters of the galleys sought them out and brought them into the light of despair.
Or so those with ideas above their station like to claim,
Gutrot Spume said.
In reality, it's because the work must be done. A garden must be tended, and loose souls such as yours are things that need gathering.
He sat on a barrel of maggoty meat, boots crossed over the scarred back of a galley slave. The mortal trembled in silence, head and hands pressed tight to the deck.
Happenstance and coincidence are the tides of the divine sea,
Spume continued, as he slurped noisily from a leaky goblet.
They cast the soul where the gods wish it to go. Don't you agree?
Grimm stared at Spume, willing his death. The Lord Castellan hung from rusty chains draped along the interior of the galley's hull, the weight of his warplate dragging him down. His arms had pulled to their fullest extension, at the very point of dislocation, and he'd lost most of the feeling in them. Filthy water dripped onto his head and shoulders, leaving black streaks across the begrimed silver. Hanging as he was, it was hard to breathe, and the extension of his arms prevented him from simply bursting his fetters, freeing himself, and smashing in the bloated creature's skull with his chains. Spume chuckled, as if he knew what his captive was thinking, and leaned forward to dip his goblet into the open cask sitting beside him.
"Silence is the same as agreement, aye,"
he extended the goblet.
"Care for a drink. Captain's prerogative."
Grimm spat on the deck. Spume gave a gurgling laugh.
"Well, it's a hard one ye are. Tough as rusty nails. But even nails bend."
He leaned back, shifting his weight. The barrel beneath him creaked, and the galley slave whimpered.
"Did ye think me dead, then, after the dirge horn blew its last note?"
Grimm said nothing. Spume nodded as if he had.
"Almost was, but I made of sterner stuff than that. Blessed of Nurgle I am."
His tentacles undulated in the watery light of the balefire lanterns strung about the hold.
"And more blessed will I be once I rip your secrets from ye and offer up your carcass to Grandfather."
Still, Grimm did not reply. He was determined not to indulge the creature. Spume grunted and refilled his goblet.
"I've thought much on our last encounter," he said. "It tasks me. I've never met a warrior I couldn't grind into mulch. Yet here ye are, bold as buboes."
A tentacle stiffened, as if pointing.
"And I want to know why."
"Faith," Grimm said. He hadn't meant to speak. The word hung on the air. Spume emptied his goblet.
"Maybe so."
He shook his head.
"Or maybe there's some trick to it. There's always a trick to it, I've found."
"No trick, monster. Only faith." Spume dipped his goblet and held it up, swirling it gently. Then he booted the slave aside and heaved himself to his feet. A tentacle shot out and wrapped tight about Grimm's throat. Sigmarite creaked in the monstrous appendage's grip. Spume leaned close, He stank of bilge water and rotten sargassum.
Have a drink. I insist.
He emptied the goblet over Grimm's faceplate. The sour liquid stung his eyes and mouth, and he thrashed in his chains. Spume laughed.
Want another?
I'd rather die of thirst, Grimm croaked, glaring at the Rotbringer. That only made Spume laugh all the harder. He flung the goblet aside. The galley slave scrambled towards it, and Grimm frowned in disgust as the mortal desperately licked at the dregs as they seeped into the deck. Spume ignored the whimpering slave.
You won't. Your sort don't die easily.
Spume poked a blunt finger against Grimm's chestplate.
And you'll come back. Life without living. Grandfather has a special pity for you, shiny skin. You're like a field left fallow, or unfished waters.
Pure, you mean, Grimm said.
If you like.
Spume shrugged his single shoulder.
Not for much longer, though. You'll be writhing in worms soon enough. I can smell them percolating in your gut.
The finger trailed down and stabbed against Grimm's abdomen.
Something got into you, out in the mire, and now it's eating you hollow, though ye don't feel it yet.
Earlier than that, I confess. Grimm stiffened, causing his chains to rattle. Spume stepped back, his gaze sharpening.
I hear something, like flies buzzing about my head. Is someone in there with you, shiny skin?
No, Grimm said through clenched teeth. Fie, sir. I am no delusion. I yet live. Spume chuckled. His fingers curled into a fist, and he drove a piston-like blow into Grimm's abdomen, slamming him back against the hull painfully.
Two for the price of one, is it? Well, I'll not have some grubby soul pill for my hard-bought plunder.
He caught hold of Grimm's head again and leaned forward, sour breath issuing from the holes in his helmet.
I shall go a grubbing, little worm, and he'll scream as mightily as the shiny skin.
He slammed Grimm's head back, causing the sigmarite to ring. Spume caught the slave by the scruff of the neck and jerked him to his feet.
Up, dog! Back to your bench. We have leagues to go, and every man at his oar.
He tromped back above decks, leaving Grimm hanging alone in the weak light.
No, not alone. Who are you?
Grimm said softly. If Spume had heard the voice, then he wasn't going mad, which came as little relief. If he wasn't mad, then something was inside him, something unspeakable.
You know me. We traded blows, you and I. Am I so easily forgotten?
It squirmed in his gut, and he grimaced.
The pox knight, he said. Bubonicus! Aye, you know me. You killed me, and I will be reborn in you. A fair exchange, don't you agree?
Bubonicus's voice echoed through him.
No,
Grimm said.
No, they rarely do. A shame. It is a high honor, I assure you. I choose only worthy souls to make my home in. It is not happenstance.
Grimm ignored the voice and began to test his chains. His legs were bound tight at the ankles, but his knees were free. He set his feet against the hull and dragged them up through the mold. A few moments later, they slipped down. His chains jerked taut, and he groaned as new pain flashed through his shoulders.
A valiant effort.
Shut up!
Grim snapped. He looked around. The hold was larger than it ought to have been, given the size of the galley. It was packed with supplies, all rotting and stinking. Broken bodies were stacked like cordwood at the far end, their suppurating flesh crawling with maggots and rot flies. Coils of mouldering rope and rusty chain lay slumped beneath folds of moth-eaten sail. A moan drew his attention down. An iron crosshatch was set in the deck. Pale fingers reached up through it. More slaves, broken souls bound for unknown torments.
Harsh words from the ignorant.
I thought I told you to shut up,
Grim growled.
These souls are in captivity now, aye, but they are meant for better things. They will know the freedom of despair and be freed from the chains of hope and want. Is that not a better fate than what might have awaited them otherwise?
That is not up to creatures such as you to decide,
Grim said. He studied the hold, trying to find something, anything he could use to free himself.
Why am I even arguing with you? You're nothing. The voice of a dead thing.
Dead? No, I cannot die. Loras. That is your name, isn't it? Loras Grim.
The sound of his own name rang through Grim's head like the trump of doom. Words of defiance died unspoken on his lips. He felt as if something cold had crawled inside him and was now seeking to make room.
We have much to talk about in the time left to us, Loras Grim.
Gutrot Spume stood on the foredeck of his galley. He leaned on the head of his axe and watched the waters part before the prow of his vessel. The galley was a poor sort of ship compared to others he'd captained, but fast. He closed his eyes and listened to the hiss crack of the whips as his crew encouraged the rowers to greater efforts. The sooner the slaves learned what was expected of them, the sooner they would be fit to crew a proper ship, one that sailed fiercer seas than these moribund waters. Grandfather's garden was a pleasant place, and no denying it. Its storms were swift, like Grandfather's wrath, and its waters gentle. Idly, Spume scraped a tentacle's worth of sputum from the rail and cast it into the wet air. The mass swirled and congealed, taking the shape of an inverted pyramid or of a spreading plume of smoke. The current shape of the garden, though that could change at any moment, it split into seven flat planes, dwindling to the reverse apex. Grandfather's manse sat there, holding up the garden on its creaking foundations. The mass dripped back to the rail. Spume chuckled, thinking of the first time he'd sailed into the garden, quite by accident. He'd been harrying an Abak treasure ship bound for Sartos. Only, it hadn't been treasure they'd been carrying, at least not the kind he'd been hoping for. And when he'd boarded them at last, their captain had proven to be more capable than he seemed. Spume had killed the poxy harem-born princeling regardless, but by then it had been too late. His chuckles faded as those final moments came back to him, as strong as ever. Bad, black moments, etched forever on what was left of his worm-eaten soul. The waters rushing suddenly and swiftly in the wrong direction. The wind screaming and stinking of offal, and those rotting hands, leagues across and so big as to blot out the sun and stars, reaching up out of the maelstrom and pushing aside the waters as if they were sand. Reaching up to draw the spinning vessels down into the vast deep. There had been things down there, in the dark, shapes greater than any leviathan, and hungry. Men had been plucked screaming from the decks as the ships sank, drawn upwards into the crashing curtain of displaced water. But not Spume. He'd ridden the carcass of his ship into the garden, and when they'd surfaced, he'd set about exploring. He ran a wide thumb along the edge of his axe. He'd almost worn the blade to splinters in those first few months on the plague-yellow seas. His crew had died around him, their bodies fruiting and spoiling in the sickly glare of the sun. But he'd only grown stronger, determined to conquer these new, squirming waters, as he'd conquered the Wolftooth Fjords and the Breakwater. He'd swelled, basking in Grandfather's attention, though he'd known it not. And when he'd at last reached the headwaters of the garden, he'd knelt at Nurgle's feet, as if that was what he'd been born to do. But Grandfather was a jolly sort, and profligate with his favour. Spume had soon realised that he was not the only maggot in the meal, nor even the biggest. But that was good. What was life without challenge? Let the fly-dandies and bile-fops mutter about the art of surrender and write odes to sweet despair. Gutrot Spume fought, as he'd always fought. Let the storm close over him if it would. Hope was a tattered sail, a cracked hull, a shattered rudder. He embraced the misery of it all and fed on it. Or at least, he had. Spume sighed, thinking of what had been lost. He had been trapped on the wrong side of the Genesis Gate when it had closed, his vessel shattered by Alariel's wrath. He could still recall his consternation as those pillar-thick vines had skewered his hull and cracked his masts. His crew had died screaming, even as Spume hacked himself an escape route. He'd fallen into the flowing rot waters and been carried by the current into the garden with the rest of the detritus, separated from what remained of his flotilla. The thought brought him a rare moment of pain, and he cherished it. His ships, vast galleons of rotten wood and putrid cork, which could sail upon the waters and pox clouds with equal ease, were the pride of Nurgle's plague fleets, and none more so than his flagship, Lurska. The titanic Rotkraken was an old friend, and the citadel built upon her back was a mighty thing indeed, studded with black iron cannons and bale fire throwers. Her tentacles could uproot elder oaks like saplings and shatter even the strongest hulls. She was a true companion, a pirate to her noisome core. He missed her dearly and looked forward to treading her barnacled decks once more. No, the garden was not for him. Once he'd secured suitable replacements for his lost crew, he'd find the nearest path back to Gairan and the Rotwater. Beautiful as they were, the seas here were soft things, gentle, tamed, and lacking in true excitement. A monstrous serpentine head broke the jellied surface and arrowed towards him, jaws agape. The poxworm's scales gleamed with an oily hue, and its milky eyes fixed on him with greedy intensity. Spume pivoted, letting his axe rise and fall as he avoided the poxworm's snapping jaws. Its head flopped to the deck, and its long neck reeled away like a fallen tree. As it struck the water, he spotted the threadbare fins of more of the creatures, closing in to feed on their fallen kin. Spume ran a tentacle along the notched edge of his blade, wiping it clean of steaming ichors. His tentacle bent and snapped, scattering droplets across the closest bench of rowers. The galley-slave screamed as the poisonous bile stung their afflicted flesh. Whether in pleasure or in pain, Spume didn't know, nor did he care. That they reacted was enough. He glanced at Dirk, his first mate.
"They need toughening up. Whip them until their scabs get scabs."
The plague-bearer grinned, displaying erratically spaced teeth.
"Aye, Captain,"
the demon grunted. He snarled phlegmatically, and the crew snapped to, plying their whips with gusto. Spume nodded in satisfaction. Demons made for poor crew on long journeys. They got bored too quickly to make proper sailors. But for these shorter jaunts, they served well enough. Only the toughest souls were worthy of serving aboard his galleons. Bodies and spirits hardened by drowning and disease, made strong by Grandfather's blessings. And the strongest souls were those plucked from the soil of the garden. But no soul was quite like the one now languishing in his hold. Tougher than any he'd ever encountered. He needed answers. At the very least, he might be able to use his captive to barter passage back to the mortal realms. Decision made, He gestured to his first mate.
Dirk, bring me a soul.
Dirk dutifully dragged a whimpering soul up onto the foredeck, depositing the pale thing at Spume's feet. The soul was an indistinct thing, covered in yellowish barnacles and clumps of fungus. It had been here long enough that its origins, even its gender, had been lost to the mire. It cowered away from Spume, babbling inarticulate prayers to gods whose names it had long since forgotten. They always forgot, eventually. Only one god held sway in these waters, and he weighed heavily on the mind. Spume planted his axe in the deck and grasped the soul with his mortal hand.
Up, he said. I be needing your assistance.
His tentacles writhed and stiffened, spearing into the soul like daggers. They undulated through the open wounds on the soul's body and into its open mouth and eyes. The soul gurgled shrieks, writhing in pain. Spume chuckled, forcing his tendrils deeper into its putty-like form. When he judged that they'd inundated the squirming form thoroughly, he tore it apart in a welter of gore. Gobbets of steaming meat fell to the deck. Spume uprooted his axe and used the blade to shift and smear the bloody spray. He began to murmur as he did so, speaking the seven words taught to him by the one he was trying to reach. As he did so, the gore began to bubble and burst. Rot flies squirmed out of the smeared redness and flew lazily upwards, circling about Spume's head like a halo. The flies joined together in a cloud, bunching and roiling, until they formed what might have been monstrous features. The vaguely mouth-shaped clump of flies undulated, humming.
What do you want, pirate? Careful there, Urslaug, Spume chided. I'm not the sort to endure disrespect, especially from a thin shank mollyboggle such as ye.
The flies hummed for a moment, then...
My question stands.
Spume snorted.
I have a gift for ye.
If a cloud of flies could look suspicious, this one did. The swarm convulsed, and the flies hummed.
What sort of gift?
Spume laid his axe over his shoulder and chuckled.
One that'll benefit us both mightily.